The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's so much going on in this short passage. Just every time we read it, there's new points for reflection, new points for meditation. I think what jumps out at us is the fact that James and John really come off in bad light here. So much so that when we encounter this gospel in the other gospel renditions, the author puts James and John's mother in the front of the scene and attributes to her the apostle's desire for power. It's that embarrassing. But it gets worse than that, because it's not just isolated to the two. As soon as the other 10 hear what James and John were up to, they become indignant with them. And we get the sense, not because they were asking for the wrong things, but because they had beaten them to the punch, right? So we should see, instead of making this, you know, throw everyone under the bus Sunday, We should look at it and see whether or not there's something going on here that's, say, deeply ingrained in us as human beings. I was going to say deeply human, but I don't think that's fair to what humanity actually is. This is sin-stricken humanity on display. This is not the full and glorious humanity of Jesus Christ. And if we want to know what it means to be human, we have to look to Jesus, because he it is who embodies perfectly what it means to be a human being. And not here, the fallen nature that we see on display makes us feel a bit awkward, realize our own shortcomings. But here, James and John, right? And in fact, all of the apostles, they're with Jesus now as he has set his face resolutely to Jerusalem to embrace his cross. And yet they still don't have it right in their minds. They still don't have it right in their hearts. They think Jesus is going to become the King of the Jews, as indeed he is. But their way, and the way of the world, just so happens to coincide on this point, is that he will go and cast off the Gentiles. He will go and cast off their Roman oppressors, and his kingdom will be launched then from the heart of that city. Okay, and it will encompass every kingdom of the world. So when the apostles are coming forward to sit at Jesus' right and his left, what they're asking for is a greater share in his power, a greater share in his governance over all of God's creation. And you think, you know what? Okay, right? Maybe that's right. That's how they saw God's kingdom coming. And that's how they saw themselves in God's great narrative of reclaiming the world. This is just what they believed. And those intentions are not terribly impure, in the sense that they knew and acknowledged Jesus to be the king. They were willing to follow him where he was going, and they were anticipating what would come to them as they did so. Where do we find ourselves in that picture? Do we acknowledge Jesus as king? Are we loyal to him? Do we pledge our allegiance and our loyalty to him? And do we anticipate what will come to us as his faithful followers? I think we do. But the question is whether or not also we get it straight. Because the culture that we find ourselves in is completely different to the one that Jesus wants to launch in the world. And it's not as though Jesus wants to launch a strange culture, an alien culture for us. What he wants to do is recapture for us what it means to be truly human. He's doing for us what it is we were made to do. And here, let me say then, as Jesus goes to Jerusalem to embrace his cross and launch his kingdom, he is sure to show that that kingdom is one of what? Not power and authority lorded over others, but of service and sacrifice all the way to the end. This is who we, as people who are made in the image and likeness of God, are made to be. The Trinity, right, even outside of creation, is an eternal exchange of self-emptying, self-forgetful love. And we are made in the image and likeness of the God who simply gives himself away. And we would have to say, at least from our perspective, gives himself away recklessly. And he wants all of human life, which is both every human life and every human life together, to be founded on that love. Now check, right? It's not here that Jesus is giving us some good advice. Yeah, because there is good advice here. If you want to be first, become the slave, right? Your life, the greatness of your life will be found in serving others. That's good advice, yeah, that Jesus can give us today. If you want to find a fully satisfying human life, give yourself away. You're made in the image and likeness of God. But the good news is that Jesus lived that life and so gives us today the power and the strength that we need to live that life. That's the good news. Because you know what? This can seem difficult. I'll pick on Megan for just a second. She told me the most beautiful thing today, just about an hour ago. She told me the most beautiful thing. She said, you know, when I'm washing dishes, okay, now this is going on record. I'm sorry to do it, but she hates washing dishes, okay, just like the rest of us. She said, but when I'm washing dishes, I'm thinking about Jesus. That's what she's getting from her faith. And it's true, right? That's the low road. What is it that we've been called to do today, this week, and in our lives that we really kind of struggle with, we'd prefer not to do, we'd rather pay someone to do it for us, we'd rather find some way around it. But we're called to it. And isn't that the task that we have to give ourselves to faithfully? And isn't that an opportunity to surrender our will to the will of God and to make out of that an opportunity for his love to flow into the world? Yes, even in something as simple, painful though it may be, as doing dishes. God's love can flow into the world through those tasks that we all have. My friends, we were made to live for God. It's only by living for God with our whole heart and our mind and our strength that we have the power, the courage, and the strength to give ourselves away recklessly, just as he does. And we praise our Lord Jesus Christ, who has won for us the victory over selfishness and self-absorption, who's won for us the victory over sin and death, that we, in his power and might, can live giving ourselves away for the glory of God and for the good of those around us.